This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome you. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or online, we're grateful to be together. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the very first time. We hope that you feel welcomed and feel the Spirit of Christ in this place, and that you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you this morning. I would invite everybody, whether it's your first time or your thousandth time, to take a moment to register your attendance. We have registration pads at the end of each row in the pews in the sanctuary. There's a link online you can place in your browser to register, or you can scan the QR code that's in the bulletin, and that will take you to the registration spot there. This is a big Sunday for lots of our students. It's Promotion Sunday for our elementary school students, and a big Sunday for our youth and our college students, so I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening this morning. Three-year-olds to sixth graders are invited with their families to go downstairs after this service to McWhorter Hall, where we'll have some refreshments and a party, and then the kids will go to their classrooms and meet their teachers, and the parents will stay and have some time together. Youth are invited to go to the youth area on the third floor. That is 7th graders through 12th graders, and then youth parents will gather in the fourth-story theater on the fourth floor for a parent meeting with Emily. And then the rest of us can just go from this service out into Reed Hall and grab a donut and share some fellowship together, and head on, if you're in a Sunday school class for adults, to that time together. Our youth ministry is having its fall kickoff tonight. It begins at 4:45 and goes to 7 p.m. That is off-site. That is not here at the church. So if you need information about where that is, let one of your pastors know, or Emily Robbins, our youth pastor, will be up in the fourth-story theater at 9:45, and we'll share that information then. Our children's choirs are kicking off this Wednesday. There's information about all these things in your bulletin, as well as other announcements. So we hope you'll take a moment to read through all of those announcements together. And finally, there will be in the Narthex and in Reed Hall some of our college students and Reverend Amy Baxter, our pastor of young adults, handing out these prayer cards, which is inviting all of us to be in prayer for our college and graduate students who are part of our congregation and beyond. So hopefully you will take one of those and commit to praying for these friends and students. We're continuing our sermon series on Sabbath and the practice of putting down our work and resting, and paying attention to God's movement in our lives. So as we enter into that spirit of Sabbath rest and worship, let us open our hearts and minds to meet the Christ who meets us here.
Oh. please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Calling all children of the living God, the gospel is good news for every age and every stage. Let us worship together, the young and the old. The good news is proclaimed in God's words and also with work, play, and rest. Let us worship together, every generation. All are welcome in the arms of Christ who proclaimed, "Let the children come." Let us worship together with our family of faith, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of all generations, we gather this morning with hearts full of feelings, with our minds full of thoughts, and with our never-ending to-do lists. The world around us sends us messages of you are what you produce. Go and do, and hurry up. You call us to a better way, a rhythm of work and rest. Forgive us when we hold ourselves and others to the standards of busyness and productivity. Help us to breathe. Help us to resist. Help us to return to your grace of rest and offer peace to those around us. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Grace and Matt Reed bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Grace and Matt, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay. Yawn. Big yawn. What name have you given your son? Wallace Murray. I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Yeah. Okay, we're going to lean over and let Mommy and Daddy place a hand on you and Pastor Shannon, and we're all going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Yeah, let's go take a walk. You want to? Yeah, we're going to meet your church family. There's Mommy and Daddy. They're going to be right there when we come back. And here's some other members of your family. They're here to celebrate you, and they love you so much already. And you know what? Your church family loves you so much already. And God loves you so much already. And your church family is going to make a promise in just a minute to do everything they can to help you know that and understand that and to live out that love in your life and share it with the world. So some of them may be Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. Maybe one of them will be your confirmation mentor. You're just getting a good look at them all, aren't you? They're beautiful people, and they think you're beautiful too. So as they rise in body and spirit, we're going to invite them to make their promise to you. So let's listen as they do.
Let's turn to our bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Wallace Murray. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wallace Murray to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Wallace Murray, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 52 in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible or page 76 in the Story Bible. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should listen to him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence or sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of the land, and yet you want them to stop working." That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But you shall require of them the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That's why they cry, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on them. Then they'll labor at it and pay no attention to deceptive words." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite all of our kids and anyone who would like to come forward to have their backpack blessed. We're going to do our blessing of the school year and blessing of the backpacks. Yep, I'd love to see those backpacks. Even if you don't have your backpack, you can still come on up. All right, come sit. All right. Okay, friends, today we want to pray for everyone who is starting a new school year. Raise your hand if you've already started school, a new school year. Raise your hand if you're still maybe going back next week. Okay, so most of you have already started. That's great. Going back to school sometimes has like big feelings, right? And everybody's got different ones. You might be excited, or happy, or you might be a little nervous and scared. You might be curious. You might be annoyed. You may not want to go back to school. That's okay. Everybody's got their own feelings about it, and maybe you even have some of all of these at the same time. But guess what? God goes with us, because God goes with us everywhere. And we have a tag today that you can put on your backpack or hang in your room or do whatever you want with it to remind you of God's love for you and God's presence with you. They're also a symbol of West End's love for you and our prayers for you. This year, the tag, anybody want to know, guess what the tags say? Yeah, what do you think?
You matter.
You matter. That was last year's backpack tag. Yeah, that good memory. This year's backpack tag says, be curious, ask questions. What does curious mean? Yeah, Isla.
You don't know something,
and you're wondering about it, and you ask a question about it, right? So we want to encourage you to be curious. Who's got lots of questions? Parents, whose kids ask lots of questions? Yeah. I have lots of questions. And you know what? God loves our questions. When we wonder or are curious and asking questions, it helps us learn things. It helps us to grow and to be better and to do better. And when we ask questions with kindness, we show that we care and are open to learning something new. So when you see your backpack tag this year, you can remember to be curious and ask questions with kindness. And you can remember that you are loved by this congregation, and you are most especially loved by God. So we want to offer a blessing for students of all ages, our preschool friends, our elementary friends, middle school and high school friends, college friends, teachers, administrators, staff, parents, grandparents, anybody who's got a role in the back-to-school season, which is pretty much all of us in some way or form. So we're going to pray together for our community. And we're going to pray together, but you're going to repeat after me. And I would want to invite the whole congregation to repeat as well. So can we lift our hands up like this, like we're offering a blessing? And say, God of new beginnings,
God of new beginnings,
we bring ourselves and our big feelings, before you. The world around us keeps changing. And always, God, you are our friend. You comfort us and hold us close. You celebrate with us, and you are with us when we are afraid. Bless us this year, God. May we be curious, filled with kindness and love. For ourselves and everyone around us. Bless all the teachers and staff, families and students. May they know your love and the love of this church. May we all go play, go learn, and go love others. In your name. Amen. All right, friends, Pastor Shannon and Pastor Carol and I are going to pass out backpack tags. And then after you get one, 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can follow me to Children's Church. And then everybody else can go back and join their families. There you go. Oh, there you go. There you go. Here you go, Dax.
As our students and teachers and administrators are going back to school, I'm getting ready to go back to school in a way. I am, as most of you know, going to be starting a renewal leave on September 1st, which will be a 12-week time away for me to go back to school, to reground myself in prayer and rest and remember who I am in God's presence, and not just because of what I do every day. That's one of the reasons why for last week, this week, and next week, I wanted to spend a little time with you exploring the biblical understanding of Sabbath and why God would give us this invitation or this commandment, actually, as we heard last week, the 4th out of the 10 commandments, to stop working regularly and rest, to set aside time in our lives that is a time unto the Lord and a time of rest for us and for everyone. So last week we started with the creation story in the first chapter of Genesis, and we looked at how in this poem, this hymn that talks about the 7 days of creation, God created and worked and produced and did for 6 days, and then on the 7th day stopped working and rested. And we call that the 7 days of creation, and rest is included in creation. And God invites us and invites God's people, as we examined in the Ten Commandments, to practice this rhythm of work and rest. For all people, even for animals, and even every seventh year for the land. So this is God's hope and will for all creation, that all would be able to rest. As we consider this invitation to rest, this morning I want to invite you to ponder the question for yourself. What is it that keeps you from resting? What are those voices in your head, or those forces in your life, or those systems in our world that might keep you or keep others from resting and from practicing this kind of Sabbath rest? And to sort of get at some of that, I've chosen this story from the fifth chapter of Exodus. I actually got the idea from Walter Brueggemann's book called Sabbath as Resistance, a fabulous book, by the way, highly recommend it. But he takes this story of the people of God, the Israelites, enslaved in Egypt. And he points out how the voice of Pharaoh represents in so many ways those voices in our heads, that cultural pressure we all have to produce and to work nonstop, to place our personal value in our work and what we do and what we accomplish. And he shows how the practice of Sabbath is a practice that resists that force. So let's look at this story from the fifth chapter of Exodus. If you're not quite sure where we are in the biblical narrative, let me catch us up a little bit. At the end of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we have Jacob and all of his children and grandchildren as a family clan. Now, they are the chosen people of God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and his descendants become the Israelites. And God had chosen the Israelites, or the Hebrew people, for a special purpose in all of creation, to reveal the way of life, the way of God, to all the world, to be a blessing to the world. So Jacob and his family are in the Promised Land, but there is a famine that comes. And so he and his family move to Egypt, because his son, Joseph, is the right-hand man of the Pharaoh in Egypt. You know, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, that whole story, it's a fabulous story. So they move to Egypt at the invitation of Joseph and at the invitation of the Pharaoh at the time. Come, escape the famine, be here, be safe, welcome. That's the end of the book of Genesis. At the beginning of the next book, the book of Exodus, things have changed. Years have passed. The people of Jacob are now multitudes. They're called the Hebrew people. And there's a new Pharaoh on the throne. And he is obsessed with his own power, with his own glory, and he is paranoid and fearful about anyone threatening his power. And so he looks and sees the Hebrew people and how numerous and how strong they are, and he begins to sow seeds of suspicion and fear. Look at them. They outnumber us. If our enemies come, they will join and rebel against us. And so we've got to oppress them. We've got to keep them in line. And so he enslaves them. They are forced to labor and make bricks upon bricks upon bricks to build monuments to the glory of Pharaoh. And this goes on for years. But the people cry out and they moan and groan under the weight of their labor. And God hears their cries and calls Moses and his brother Aaron to go and challenge Pharaoh. And so this that we've just heard, which Betsy read so beautifully for us, is their first confrontation with Pharaoh. And they go to Pharaoh and they say, "We have heard from the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews. And here's what God says. Let my people go." Actually, the Hebrew is even stronger than that. I mean, that's the line we remember Charlton Heston saying in the movie, right? But the Hebrew is actually stronger, like, "Send my people." God is giving Pharaoh a command. And right away, we see the power of God and the power of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh knows that his power is being threatened, and he will have none of it. First of all, if he lets the people go into the wilderness to worship God, it will be an acknowledgement that their allegiance is to God more than it is to Pharaoh. It will chip away at his power and authority and claim on them. And also, if he lets them go into the wilderness, he would lose at least 2 weeks of production. It hurts the bottom line. He needs them to be workers and to produce nonstop. And so he says, no way, I do not know this God, and I will not let the people go. And the dialogue goes on. And I want to lift up from this conversation between Moses and Pharaoh a few things that Pharaoh says and see if we can hear echoes of those voices and forces and systems in our day that want to keep us from resting in God. One of the first things Pharaoh says is, Moses and Aaron, why are you trying to separate the people from their work? In Pharaoh's economy, the people are their work. The Hebrew people are just workers, and their only purpose is to produce bricks. That's their identity. That's their worth. They're only worth as much as they can produce. But in God's economy, as we were reminded last week in the creation story, every human being has their worth from God and God alone. Every human being is created in the image of God. And on that end of the sixth day of creation, God stepped back and looked at all that God had created and pronounced it very good. So every human being, before they ever do a day's work, before they ever produce anything or accomplish anything, is already worthy in God's eyes, is already very good. So in God's economy, our worth and our identity come from God and God alone. And Pharaoh is threatened. If the people put their work down and they go to worship God, they'll find out their worth. And that's a threat to his power. And so I wonder about our own lives, our own culture, our own voices in our head that want to tell us we are our work, that we're only worth as much as we can produce, our successes, our achievements. I do this all the time. I meet a new person and I'll say, what do you do for a living? There's something about that that will tell me who they are, right? If I know what you do, if I know what your work is, I will know who you are. I fall into that trap that we are what we do. And we're only as good as what we produce. But one of the things the practice of Sabbath offers us is an opportunity to put down that work, to place ourselves in God's presence and be reminded that we are beautiful and loved and enough. I think it's no surprise that this is a practice God invites us to once a week. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that message a lot. The next thing I want to highlight that Pharaoh says is the one that was like in all caps, yelling at me from the page. Pharaoh says, you are asking for this time away because the people are lazy, lazy. Do you ever feel like if I take a break, if I put my work down, someone's going to think I'm lazy? If I don't respond to my emails on Saturdays and Sundays, somebody's going to think I'm lazy. If I don't answer this text right away, someone's going to think I'm just lying around doing nothing. That's part of what Sabbath is, by the way, doing nothing. So here, confession for my own life. Many of you know I take Thursdays off. And when my kids were still in the house and in high school and coming and going, on Thursdays, sometimes in the afternoon, I would lie on the couch. I'd read a book. I might watch a movie or something. But when I heard that garage door opening and I knew one of my kids was coming home, sometimes I'd pop off the couch, turn the TV off, and go stand in the kitchen, like grating carrots or something. Like, what's that about? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker, Jesus is coming, everybody look busy? You know, it's like we got to look busy to show that we're worth something. Wouldn't it be an amazing example to my kids if they could see that I take time to rest and that rest is good for me, and I claim that. I worked on that. I'm getting better at that. But what is it in us that feels that? You're lazy, lazy. Those are the voices and messages that come to us in Pharaoh's economy, but not in God's economy. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Find your worth, your place, your rest in me, says God. Final thing I want to highlight is the very last verse that Betsy read for us, where Pharaoh says, well, let me explain what's happened. After Moses and Aaron ask for this break from work for the people, Pharaoh doubles down. He hardens their work. He says, okay, we're no longer going to supply you straw for the bricks. You're going to have to go get the straw yourselves, but you're still going to have to produce the same number of bricks. He's punishing them for asking for their rights, which in so many ways is a pattern of oppressive governments and leaders and people. That you ask for freedom, I'm going to push you down even more. You advocate for your rights, I'm going to push you down even more. It's the oldest tactic in the book, and we see it in Pharaoh. And so the people are even further oppressed. But Pharaoh says, if we can keep them busy with all of their work and making all these bricks, they will not have time to pay attention to deceptive words. He's saying that Moses and Aaron are speaking falsehoods about this God. But he's saying, if I just keep them busy, if I keep them working all the time, they won't have time to listen to God. They won't have energy to listen to God. They will be so exhausted or distracted that they cannot listen to God. Boy, that resonates in my life. Whether it's working or engaging with technology or looking at my phone, whatever it may be, to be so constantly distracted and producing and feeling like I got to be plugged in, that there is no room in my life, in my heart, to listen to God. In God's economy, there is enough time to hear from God, to abide in God in rest, but not in Pharaoh's economy. So we can see Walter Brueggemann's point that the practice of Sabbath is a practice of resisting these forces of evil, injustice, and oppression that we just talked about in the baptismal vows, to resist the pressure to be your work and to always be on and doing, to resist the voice of Pharaoh. So how do we do that in our lives? That's a question that I leave with you to ponder in your own life, how you make time and space to put down the work, whether it's a paid job or a working at home or caring for children or a loved one, whatever it may be. Hear God's invitation to Sabbath rest, because it's a blessing not just for you, but for the whole world. What would it be like if the world saw us keeping Sabbath and was transformed?
respond to the words spoken to us today. I invite you to rise in body and spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. As a reminder, we now have included an update to the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada that is in there in green, so make sure you read that as well. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I want to remind you that God hears all our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under the Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the pews, you can grab one of the prayer cards in the racks in front of you and place it in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin, and I encourage you to take those home with you today and pray for them throughout the week. We want to lift up especially Susan, Trey, Mary Frances, and Maggie Harrell as they mourn the death of Susan's father, Aubrey Byron Campbell, who passed away in Mount Juliet on August 9th. Then we also lift up Alan and Gretchen Horner and their family as they mourn the death of Alan's brother, Mark Horner, who passed away last weekend in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all creation, we give thanks today for the call to come and rest, the call to be renewed, the call to renew others. In rest, you invite us into your peace. As we take this day to recall your mighty deeds, we remember the care you give to all people. You express to all a grace that never ends, a grace that invites us not to be productive in work, but a grace that invites us to be with you, to be with ourselves as you have created us. Caring for us, ourselves as well as the needs of those around us is part of the call to the abundant life that you lead us to. And it's in the knowledge of that love that you offer us that we come to you now to lay before you our lives and the cares of our hearts. There is so much that surrounds us and inundates us each day. We see the needs of the world, and we ask for your presence with those who are experiencing grief, trauma, heartbreak, terror, and fear. For those who are living in the midst of war or conflict, we ask for your wisdom to prevail and for peace to come to fruition. For the needs of our neighbors in the Nashville and surrounding community, Lord, hear our prayer. For all other things that sit upon our hearts, the joys, the difficulties, we offer them to you in the knowledge that you offer your grace in all situations. Lord, as we receive the gift of your grace, remind us of our belovedness in your sight. And as we join together in the prayer you taught us to pray, we pray in unity, both here and around the world, with all of your saints. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite us to gather our gifts together and offer them back to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online, I invite you to give via the options listed on the screen. Well, here in the sanctuary, we will pass plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in your bulletin to give digitally. As we pass the plates down the row to one another, may we remember that God multiplies all of our gifts in this beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
I pray that this time apart, this time of worship together, has given us a taste of Sabbath rest. May we know who we are from God alone. May we pattern our lives as God would have us do, that we might find rest and always know that God is God and Pharaoh is not. Go to be the people of God. Amen.